So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of Esther, chapter 9. And we're going to be looking this morning at the Feast of Purim that is celebrated as we read in the book of Esther. I have the privilege today of landing our preaching series. And for the next couple of weeks, it's 3 weeks, we're going to have a topical series. But just to give you a quick heads up, that we will be starting a series in 3 weeks' time called When Pigs Fly, which is understanding the supernatural. And so we're going to have a four-week journey just looking at the supernatural, understanding the supernatural, and see how God's hand works in all of that. So that's just a quick heads up. But we land Esther today. It's amazing that events that happened in 473 BC can still encourage us today, 2019. That's the beauty of the Word of God. That's the beauty of and the wonder of God's truth and God's Word. And so the book of Esther, as we've looked at it and we've journeyed through it, and we look at it today, it reaches across history. All of these centuries, it reaches across, takes hold of our hearts today, and it still encourages us and equips us to walk in God's plan, God's purposes, and His will. And the same God that we've heard in the last couple of weeks, who delivered the Jews from annihilation, is active in our world today. He's moving, he's acting, he's powerful. His hand of power, his hand of providence is still at work. Hence the decorations, is that today we get to celebrate the goodness, the faithfulness of God to his people. And so we just wanted a visual representation this morning on the stage of actually who it is that we celebrate and the reason that we come together to celebrate this morning. And so this book of Esther is a testimony to the eternal sovereign work of God in his hearts and his lives and the lives of people. So we're looking today at the festival of Purim. And this festival, this feast, followed a great victory for the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. And we'll pick it up in chapter 9. And so we don't have to rehash a whole lot of weeks. And I might just double-click, might point to some of the events again to refresh our memory. But this picks up the story after Haman and his 10 sons have been dealt with in a sovereign, powerful way by God. So remember, Haman, who had a plot to destroy the Jews, God turned that, a very own plot, against him. And so the story ends, Haman's story ends, in fact, with him being impaled on a mast high up in the air. Not only him, but his 10 sons as well. And so the sins of the father were carried on to his sons. And so his family, he and his sons, have been dealt with by God. And then we pick it up in Esther chapter 9, verses 16 to 17. And you can read with me. The remainder of the Jews who were in the king's provinces also assembled to protect themselves and get relief from their enemies. They killed 75,000 of them, but did not lay hands on the plunder. This happened on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. They made it a day of feasting and joy. In other words, this great victory that God gave them, they celebrated with feasting and they celebrated with great joy. This festival, or this Feast of Purim, very interesting to note, is the only festival in the Old Testament that's not instituted by God, but was initiated by his people. So it's not one of the laws that God said on this day, on that month, you need to put this in place as a festival, as a feast celebrating me. The people were so grateful. They were so incredibly thankful to their God for delivering them. They said, how can we remember him? And we're going to institute this as a way to bring honor and glory to our God and remember them. So that's one part of it. There's a second part that we will get to. And so this Feast of Purim is initiated by Mordecai and Esther. And we read further, verses 20 to 22 of Esther chapter 9. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar is a time when the Jews got relief from their enemies. And as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration, he wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. When we read this, friends, we read it this morning in the context of our own lives, in this day and age, 2019. It's very significant. This is not just an annual tradition that on this day they get together, they have a bit of fun, they eat a bit of food, they sing a few songs, they go home. This is more than an annual tradition. You see, Mordecai and Esther recognize a need to keep alive a lifestyle, a culture of thanksgiving to God for His goodness. It's very interesting that they send this letter that you are to celebrate this on this same day of every month of every year. And today the Jews still celebrate the Feast of Purim on this day. And I think it's the 17th of April, if I'm not mistaken, is the day that is referred to here. And so they take this moment to establish a culture of thanksgiving, a culture of praise, a culture of honor, a culture of worship to this God who has done amazing things in their lives. And so we know from the story of Esther is that they were a doomed people. Haman had a plot to destroy them. God turns that all around and He delivers them and He gives them a great victory. I don't know about you, but that is worth celebrating. As for us, we have reason to celebrate because we were also a doomed people without hope, without a future. But God, who is rich in mercy, made a plan on our behalf, which we will look at just now, to deliver us from destruction and bring us into a place where we are able to live in this wonder and this amazement of a life to Jesus, honoring the Father. Wonderful. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says that the church, he's a theologian, Baptist theologian. He says the church is always one generation short of extinction. If we don't pass on to our children, grandchildren, what God has done for us, the church will die of apathy and ignorance. And so Mordecai and Esther recognize this need that if we don't institute this festival, if we don't put something in place where our people can recognize God's mighty hand upon our lives, that this could be forgotten in future generations. And so they institute this festival, and every generation is raised within this culture. God is amazing. God has done great things. He is sovereign. He is powerful. Nobody can hold back His hand. They raised in this culture. Now, some of them might celebrate it as a tradition. And I hope this morning we are stirred to look at it from an aspect of lifestyle. So this morning, as we celebrate the goodness of God, we look at His truth. We look back down the corridor of history. We're able to see not only was God's hand upon the Israelites back then, God's hand is upon us today. And it's open towards us. Thank you, Jesus. That's worth celebrating. Amen? Jeez, I think two people are happy with that good news. Oh, dear. And so these events recorded in the book of Esther, specifically chapter 9, remind us of the responsibility that we carry to continue to impart the knowledge of the glory of God. It's challenging, I know, to be a Christ follower in this day and age, more so in our nation with its increasingly humanistic liberal values. But if we lose this belief, we lose this foundation that God is sovereign over all of His creation, and He is living, and He is active, and He is working His plans and His purposes in the hearts and the lives of people. If we lose that, friends, then we lose hope. We can't afford to abdicate responsibilities to make Christ known. And the truth that Esther and Mordecai and Israel celebrated back then is the same truth that we celebrate today, that there is a God who is living and active. There's one who created this world. There's one who created us. There's one who wants to be intimately involved in the affairs of this world, God the Father. And not only did He create it, but He actively wants to be involved in it. And He rules and He reigns sovereignly over it. He is also God, as we heard last week from Brad when he is preaching, who is holy, righteous, and just in all of His ways. It's also important to remember, friends, this morning that His truth is relevant. The Bible is not confined to history. It's as relevant today as it was 464 BC in the days of Esther and Mordecai. It's as relevant, as powerful, and it has the same power as it did then, His word, His spoken word. And this truth that God is relational. So even though we don't see in the book of Esther God's name mentioned, we see His hand moving in the lives of people. God is relational, and He desires to be intimately involved in all the affairs of His people. Things that we can celebrate, friends. Things that we can't let go of. Things that we, as Mordecai and Esther, instituted this Feast of Purim and say, on this day, 17th of April, which was, I believe, early spring. I think we were in early spring anyway, so it's very apt that we celebrate it, but on a different day. But I believe every single day that we can have our own Feast of Purim. Every day. Glory, honor, thanksgiving to God who is just so majestically wonderful and mighty. Amen? We're learning. And so parents, probably speaking to us this morning, grandparents, if we aren't shaping a God destiny in our children, the world with all of its liberal values will. And so these kids were in the festival. They were in the synagogue. They were in the synagogue when this festival, this feast was taking place. And they got to hear the stories, because in the synagogue, the book of Esther was read. All 10 chapters were read, and they had to sit through and listen to the book of Esther. We are blessed. We only have to sit and listen to 30 minutes of a preach on Sunday. Imagine 10 chapters, the book of Esther. So maybe... Hey, maybe Brad next week. No jokes. And so, but they sat there. They had the word washing them, the testimony of God's goodness, the testimony of God's faithfulness, the testimony of God's power. And not only did they sit and listen, they participated in this great celebration. The kids had rattles. And every time Haman's name was mentioned, they would, and the parents would stamp their feet like this. And they would say, cursed be his name, or his name shall perish. Amazing. What they're recognizing is that we have an enemy, and the enemy has been defeated. We have a king who rules and reigns on his throne. Great is God. It's a wonderful picture of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Families together participating in that incredible value. Not just a festival, not just a feast. It's not just an excuse to have some drink, eat a couple of horse rolls, some Simba chips, give some food away and go home. Generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, parents, grandchildren, young guys, when you grow up and you carry your own testimony of God's power upon your lives and you have your children, you can tell them about the goodness of God. Keeping alive in their hearts this truth that God saves and delivers. This word Purim originates from the Babylonian word pur, which means lot. And so this refers to Esther chapter 3, verse 12, when Haman cast lots to determine on which day the Jews would be annihilated. And that was the 17th of April, 474 BC. And as I've already mentioned, is this book of Esther would be read in the synagogue, a word of God just spoken out. And so even though God's name is not mentioned, His hand is seen. His hand is seen. Psalm 33, verses 8 to 12. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. As true 464 BC as it is today, 2019. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Please say with me, all generations. All generations. Generations after you and I, when we are pushing up daisies, still persevere. And they persevere. Why? Because we get the privilege right now of speaking about this amazing God who's done amazing things in our hearts and our lives. And then they say, Psalm 33 lands with us, verse 12. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people that he chose for his inheritance. This is something of what I picture, them sitting in the synagogue and just remembering these things. Generation upon generation. And Oma and Opa, Granny and Grandpa sitting there and they're praising God. And then little Johnny and Harry and Sarah, whoever, sitting there alongside, say, God is good. Generations proclaiming the goodness, the greatness of God. And I imagine those little guys, the same little chaps that we see running around the front here and dancing one day in the front row, worshiping God with their kids at their side, saying, this God is awesome. Generation after generation are being taught that we have an enemy who seeks to kill and destroy. But the good news, there is a God who reigns sovereignly and he will protect and deliver his people who put their trust in him. Isaiah 14 verse 27. The Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans when his hand is raised? Who can stop him? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? As we read the book of Esther, especially this morning, it reaches across history and it teaches us, it reminds us, and it reassures us of the sovereign, provident grace of God that is living and active and still working today, through the church and in the world. This morning, friends, we get to celebrate God's faithfulness. We get to celebrate his sovereign hand of generous grace that has been raised over our lives. His grace of salvation, his grace of provision, his grace of protection, and his grace of purpose. We get to celebrate these things this morning. And grace comes in the form of a person, Jesus Christ. Titus speaks about it in Titus chapter 2, I think verse 10. This grace has appeared. This grace has appeared. It's appeared in the form of a person, Jesus Christ. And Paul points to Jesus as the grace of God in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. And in his prayer, again, just as Esther and Mordecai in the Feast of Purim are able to hear the stories of God's incredible grace. We read the Bible and we read Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 to 14 as Paul points us to. And this is what Paul writes. He says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge. Can I just emphasize complete knowledge of his will? And to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because when we have complete knowledge of God's will, when we have complete understanding of spiritual wisdom, then Paul says the way that you will live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow. We're all in the process of growing, even me. I'm growing older. But I trust I'm growing a little bit more wiser as I walk with Jesus. Janet's having a good laugh. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Then Paul says, we pray that you'll be strengthened with all of his glorious power so that you will have all endurance and the patience that you need. May you be filled. Underline, highlight, capital, bold. May you be filled. May you be filled with joy. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, who live in the light. Could I ask the music team to come up, please? And so this morning, friends, we get, like Moses and Miriam, we get to sing our own song. They have a song, a testimony to the goodness of God, how he parted the Red Sea and he delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. We get to sing our very own song that is peculiar to us. God has done great things with us. We get to sing our own song of salvation. We get to sing our own song of his providence. We get to sing our own song of his incredible power, his protection. And so this morning, there is an invitation from the heart of the Father for us to come before his throne of grace with joy and thanksgiving. So please stand with me. We're going to do that. And this is how Paul lands, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And this is the reason that we celebrate. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom of his Son. God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us through the grace of salvation into the kingdom of his Son Jesus, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins.